Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Please guide us by your Spirit, remove distractions, and help us, Lord, to understand this and be excited about our faith. And we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when we go to be with the Lord, maybe we are the generation that's not going to take a rocket but be raptured. A rocket would take, spacecraft would take quite a while to reach the ultimate heaven. This says we'll be caught up with the Lord in the twinkling of an eye. You just twinkled your eye. That's quicker than a blink. That's pretty fast. So we look forward to that. Maybe while we're in this message, we'll be going and we'll finish it up there. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, sometimes I think we forget about heaven. We get so caught up with this world and the trouble and the things in it. We forget that we're going home. Pretty soon we're going to be going home. I was thinking about that this week. We'll see loved ones that have died. Like my mom, my wife's mom, and others, and relatives, and friends. I was just thinking about that. We'll see them again, those that are believers. Isn't that wonderful? You'll go there and, wow, there they are. So we need to keep our mind on things above, not on things here. Keep them on things here. Satan can have a field day with us. Oh, look at how bad off you got, or you don't have anything. Look what they have, and they don't even know the Lord. And get in your head and get you really troubled. You know, nothing in this world is worth forfeiting your faith. Like Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lose his own soul? Would gain you nothing. And yet so much effort is put into this world. And it gains you nothing. You know, as we're going to read in, you know, in verse 2, if you become circumcised, if you go by any other way or the law or old traditions, Christ will profit you nothing. You know, I've been set free from the bondage of sin. We've been talking about freedom. You've been set free. You believers have been set free from the bondage of sin. Sin is destructive. I have inherited heaven and eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have a reservation in heaven. You have a reservation in heaven. No one's going to touch that place. You got a place in heaven. Why? Because we've been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm a free person. We've gone over that. We're free people. And we're also people of promise. God promised us that's what we're going to get. And God cannot lie. There's a lot of times you would promise your children something when they were growing up and things would come up, something would happen, or you didn't have the money or something and you couldn't do what you said you were going to do. Did you ever have that happen to you? And, oh, they're so disappointed. You couldn't do it. So you can make promises here and sometimes they don't come to pass. Not because you lied or didn't want to, just couldn't do it. Maybe you got sick and life didn't turn out the way you thought. And you made promises and you can't do it. God promises us something and it's a done deal. It's going to happen. All these things we have in God. We're a new creation. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We're a person of the new covenant, grace. That's what Paul's been talking about, the old versus the new, law versus grace. See, the old covenant that God made with Israel was a legal covenant. If you've been coming on Wednesday nights, we're right in there. As a matter of fact, Wednesday, we're going over the Ten Commandments. But he created this covenant with Israel, and it was a legal covenant. Hey, they had their part, keep all these laws, and God would bless them. Now, the old covenant was a person being under the Mosaic law that God gave on Mount Sinai. But the Galatians, who had the gospel preached to them, were excited about this freedom in Christ and grace. But then these false teachers came in, and we've been going over that, teaching false doctrine that, well, no, you got to become like the Jew. You got to be under the Mosaic law, yet be circumcised, and you can have Jesus too, but you need all of that to be saved. They were putting them back in bondage. They were set free in Christ, then put back in bondage. It's just like if I got up here today and said, God spoke to me today, and we're still not quite right. We've all got to do these certain things to be accepted by God. So I've published a book, buy it, read it, obey it, and let me make money, and then you're going to go to heaven. You see? People do that. That's putting people in bondage because you never know if you're going to make it. We're people of promise. We know we're going to make it. And so they said, you know, you have to be under the Mosaic law and accept the sign of the covenant, circumcision. So they were adding to grace the law. Now, the Ten Commandments, they teach us how to live a godly life. They're good, but they can't save. They show us we're lawbreakers. Did you ever lie? You sinned. Have to have that sin washed away to inherit heaven. Don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. You see, all except for the keep holy the Sabbath, they are in the New Testament. We're to live by them. Why not keep holy the Sabbath day? Because that we went over that, how it's strictly to Israel, and Jesus is now our rest. And we have him every day, and we rest in him. The law could not save. Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior. He gave his life for us as a sacrifice so our sins can be washed away by the blood of the Lamb. We're free due to God's grace. Paul so loved these people. He preached. He got a church started. And then it's horrible when someone would come in behind him and start to rip off the sheep and tell him, well, you're not, you know, Paul wasn't quite right. You still got to do this and be under the law. So that's why he starts off in chapter 5 with stand fast. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty which Christ gave us. He made us free. Why would a person set free want to be back in bondage again? You know, no matter what we attain or don't attain here on this earth, doesn't really matter much. If we get to heaven, we're justified and have our sins forgiven and a great eternal life. We don't really have to add much to our life. We've got it. We've got everything we need. Maybe you say, well, I didn't attain what I wanted to attain. I wasn't able to do this thing or do much here on this earth. Doesn't matter. What really matters is getting to heaven. If you don't get to heaven, you're a loser. There's winners and losers here. And they call them believers and unbelievers. If you don't get to heaven, no matter how many religious works you did, good works, things you thought were right, it's not going to matter if you don't have Jesus. We're free. You see, death has no grip on us. We're going to live in heaven. The grave has no hold on us. So he's saying in verse 1, don't fall back. Why are you listening to these false teachers? Don't fall back into religion or sin and be put back in bondage. Stay free. Christ set you free. For some people, it's hard for them to accept grace. Probably because they're not gracious. Like Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you're not merciful, if you're not a merciful person, you're probably a very demanding person and not merciful to others. And if you have a hard time accepting grace, it's probably because You want to make people earn everything they get. You're not very gracious. You don't give them any slack. We usually project what we are. See, grace, I'll take it. Undeserved kindness, unmerited favor, I like it. But then I better understand grace, how much I sinned and God loved me and forgave me my sin and I didn't earn it, so I got to be the same way to others. You see, it's awesome grace. But some people feel, well, you got to work for everything you get. So it just doesn't make sense to me that I can make Jesus my Lord and Savior and my sins will be forgiven and I'm going to heaven. But because what's my part? Well, your part is faith. Isn't that incredible? Just faith. And you go to heaven. But your faith will show. You can't fool God. You know, when I was a kid, maybe you did too, when someone would make you promise something, you'd cross your fingers behind your back. Well, I'll tell them, you know, what they want to hear, but I cross my fingers behind my back, like as if that, like, didn't make you mean it, you know? Like, you can lie. Well, God knows if you're just saying it or if you believe it in your heart and you're going to follow him. So he says, don't go back. Stay free. You're going backwards by the liberty which Christ sets you free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Entangled sounds like a bad word, doesn't it? It means all tied up. Don't get entangled again with this other junk these people will lay on you. You got to do this. You got to do that. When we enter into a love relationship with the Lord, we do things because we love him. And we're constrained by love. Let's turn back to Acts chapter 15. Acts 15, verse 4 to 6. They had this conference in Jerusalem, the beginning of the church, because they were doing the same thing, saying, well, the Jews were saying, no, these people got to be under the Judaic system, the Mosaic law and all. So they had this council, this conference, and the disciples came up with, no, they don't have to do that. But if you look at Acts 15, verse 4, when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all the things that God had done with them. You know, they were leading people to Jesus and converting Gentiles. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Nope, we had to do it all these years. They have to do it. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. Say, hey, let's get together and consider what we should do. Down to verse 10. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Why are you asking them to do something that we couldn't keep? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. It's by the grace of Jesus Christ that they will be saved. So they didn't put any further burden on them. You see, the yoke of religion is hard. These rules and regulations. The burden of sin is heavy. A system of works trying to earn heaven or please God, that's tough. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, it tells us in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can do all the good works you want, but if you don't have faith in just Jesus, you're not going to please God. We were freed by Jesus. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. The people were glad to hear these words of Jesus here because they were burdened down with religion. And this is what Jesus is talking about here, Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Aren't those great words? You know, that's true in life too, even as a Christian. You know, just listen to the words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's so much stress out there, trying to maintain or get ahead and seek things that you want in life, and you can get so caught up in the world. He just simply says, hey, stop. Just come to me. Today, if you walked in here burdened down, heavy laden, just come to Jesus. And he says, I will give you rest. Let him guide your life. He's gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. I don't know about you, but I love rest for my soul. Because even if you feel good on the outside, if you don't feel good on the inside, you're not going to rest. Because his burden is light. See, the people were burdened by these Pharisees and scribes, the spiritual leaders who misrepresented God. Let's turn to Matthew 23, verse 1. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. You know, you hear the commandments? Okay, observe them and do them. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries, these little boxes with scripture in them, broad and enlarge their borders of their garments. They love the best places in feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, rabbi, rabbi, you know, teacher, teacher. They like this place of honor. He says, hey, don't be like them. These religious leaders, they do what they do to be seen by men, to be glorified, to look very religious and spiritual. That's why they want the best seats. They were putting burdens on people. But Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Jesus has set us free to worship God in spirit and in truth. Free to have a love relationship with God. We're free from the curse of the law. Verse 2 now. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. You know, they were told, you also have to be circumcised, which is the outward sign of a Jew, showing you're under the Mosaic law, which shows that you believe it. He says, if you do that, if you go back and you do that, you Gentiles who now listening to what Christ has to say, and so-called Christians, he says, if you go back and you do that to be right in God's sight, then, you know, you're making Christ ineffective. Christ is going to profit you nothing. It's not the law, circumcision, and Christ. No, if you do the law and circumcision, you erase Christ. He's going to profit you nothing. Law and grace don't mix. Do oil and water mix? They don't mix. You can try as much as you want, just like you put oil and vinegar together. You can shake it and shake it and shake it. When you stop, what happens? It's still separated. They can touch each other, have contact with each other, but still separated. They don't mix, law and grace. Nothing in grace mix. He says, you know, Christ will profit you nothing. So people who like to cover all the bases, you know, I'll have a rosary hanging in my mirror in the car. I have a little Buddha at home. You know, I'll take a little from this religion. I've got a crystal that I meditate with, you know. A little from that religion, a few good works, just to make sure, and I've got a cross around my neck, just to make sure I've covered all the bases, because I want to make it to heaven. The instant we put one other thing in there with Jesus and grace, he profits us nothing. God says, oh, you're not a true believer, because you've added something to Jesus. You can't add anything to Jesus. But I've got all the saints here lined up, not saved. You don't know what grace is. It's just Jesus. Paul warns them, if you're counting on other things, then you're not going to be saved by grace. We're rich in Christ. We have everything in Christ. We're rich. When we get to heaven, we're going to say, wow, am I rich? Is this neat? This is good. And I'm never going to die. Hey, I forgot to take my pills. No, you don't need them. You're going to feel great all the time. No schedules. You don't have to buy those little boxes with pills for each day, or big box because they're getting so many of them. Nothing. We're just rich and live forever. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Turn to the next book. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Paul's speaking of himself here, to me, who am less than the least. He always thought so little of himself. He says, I'm the worst, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst of the worst. Here he says, I'm less than the least of all the saints. Boy, people, you know, the psychologists, they would think something's wrong with Paul, you know. Ooh, you don't have any self-esteem, Paul. No, he esteemed others better than himself. Boy, he's really crazy. He wouldn't fit in today. He says, I am the least of all the saints, least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He says, they're unsearchable. I'm so rich because I have Christ. The wages of sin is death. We were all on death row. And we had a debt we couldn't pay. The good news, Christ paid it for me and set me free if I believe. Every person that believes and receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is set free and made very rich. And you know the good thing about it? We all receive the same inheritance. Eternal life in heaven, and we inherit all things. The person who received Christ this morning and you that received him 30 years ago. You didn't have to work these 30 years to get, you know, at a higher level apartment in heaven or something. You know, you didn't have to work your way to get more favor with God. That's the same that the thief on the cross got, you get today. Isn't that incredible? That's how you can, if people ever want you to explain grace, just tell them those kind of things. That's grace. We're all equal, no matter what we did here. Isn't that something? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 20, please. Verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. As a vineyard needs laborers, he goes out, hires some. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, that's their day's wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Hey, this is what I'm going to pay you. Okay, we'll go. And he went out about the third hour. The beginning of the day is 6 a.m. for them, so this is now 9 o'clock. And he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again, he went about the sixth and the ninth hour, noon, 3 o'clock, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, well, 5 o'clock, just an hour before quitting time, Those were the smart guys. They hung around until an hour before the day ended and found others standing idle and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive." So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages." They would get paid daily, beginning with the last to the first. Hey, the guy hired at 5 o'clock gets paid first. When the first came, verse 9. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. Wow. But when the first came, you know, after they watch, you know, all those others go before them from 5 o'clock back down to 6 in the morning, when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." Hey, we labored a lot. We worked at this. And you're giving them the same as us? But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? You agreed at the beginning of the day for this denarius. Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen." That's grace. You know what this is about. Doesn't God have the right to give each one what he wants to give them? Grace, salvation, a place in heaven, inherit all riches, because they received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Some people would read that and say, "That's not fair. I've worked at my faith for so long. I did so many things. I went on the mission field. I did this and I did that." None of that. That's just fruit. That doesn't count toward your inheritance in heaven. Grace, you get the same thing. You get the same thing that everybody else gets. Isn't that awesome? Today, people receive Christ. They may die tonight and they receive the same thing. Grace. That's grace. I say very fair. Because what if the rapture came one day after I got saved? Well, it's very fair. But those that have been a Christian for 30 years, that's not too fair. Oh, yes, it is. Because there's those that have come in that are going to be there, and they've received grace. So back to our text, Galatians 5, verse 2. "But indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing," zero. "And again, and I testify again," verse 3, "to every man who becomes circumcised, that he is a debtor to keep the whole law." Okay, you want to go under the Judaic system, the Mosaic system, obey the law, and then be circumcised and say you need that in Jesus? Well, I'll tell you this. If you accept that, then you must keep the whole law, not just one part of it. You become a debtor to obey the whole law. And there were many more laws than just the Ten Commandments. You know, when you go over the Old Testament, you'll see all the laws, Exodus and the other books. You become a debtor to obey the law. There are many. He says, do you want to do that? You have to obey if you're saying that you need Jesus and the law, if you break one part of the law, then you're out. That's pressure. See, one can't choose the law he wants to obey and ignore others. Sometimes you'll share with people and they'll say, "I don't need Jesus, I'm a good person." Well, you just lied and you aren't a good person. You see? I haven't killed anybody. Okay. Cheat, steal, lie, you know, not do things you should. If one keeps the law of circumcision in hopes of becoming righteous, they have chosen to go the legal way, and the legal way is very tough. It's impossible. You're not going to make it. My defense can't be, you know, say I'm caught stealing. And say it's petty theft, and I get brought to court. My defense can't be, but judge, I haven't committed murder. Oh, okay, he's free. That won't stand up. You pay the price. I'm innocent. I'm a good person. No, you're not innocent. You broke one of the laws. That's how it works with the Lord. Sin can inherit in corruption. You break one, you break them all. All sin. We're lawbreakers. Verse 4. You have become, if you do that, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. You seek to be justified, you become estranged from Christ. In other words, he's of no effect for you. You're forfeiting grace. You're estranged from Christ. You're leaving Christ. There's no other way. You have fallen from grace. Fallen from that glorious grace of God. He washed our sins away by Jesus. There are those people that try to be good enough to enter heaven. You'll never be good enough. The person needs to repent, confess, accept Christ, and be filled with the Holy Spirit and become a new person. You see, Jesus did for us what the law could never do or was intended to do, and that's to save us. That's what Jesus did. He came to seek and to save the lost sinners. Call that God's grace, and we need to understand it. His atoning death on the cross. Unmerited favor. Those that count on the law, it says here in verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law have fallen from grace. That word means off course. You've dropped off. Grace is of no effect. Now, Paul doesn't say you fell into sin and you lost your salvation. We'll get into more of that the next couple of weeks. There are those that will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he lists those sins. And if you continue in them, it's just proof you are not a believer. Jesus himself said you will know them by their fruit. Paul doesn't say here, though, you fell into sin and lost salvation. Not one of us would be saved. I may have sinned yesterday, done something wrong, you know, and we'll get into more of that, as I said, when we get into verses like, you know, 17 through 22 and all of that. He's saying, you know, I may have sinned, but I've confessed, I've repented, and I'm forgiven. I know I was wrong. That's the difference. I don't live in it. I know I was wrong. I'm convicted of sin by the Holy Spirit. I confess it. I repent. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses a man from all sin. We have this continual cleansing. I'm born again. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. And I know the way to forgiveness. And I ask for forgiveness. There are those that are cold inside, don't ask for forgiveness, don't think they've done anything wrong, and they can live in it. What Paul is saying is salvation is by grace. It's by grace you're saved, by faith, not of works. You're not saved by being circumcised or obeying the Mosaic law. If one counts on the law and the works and circumcision, they fall from grace. They're saying, I don't want just Jesus, I want this. Be under the law and all. They were not saved. They were not saved. You're separating, because that word means, you know, really to set aside from. You've set aside grace, you've set apart grace, and you're accepting a religion of grace and works. Jesus and works. You've fallen from grace. You've separated yourself from grace. You're not capable of having it because you're choosing another way. The way of legalism. The law, the works, You're abandoning Christ. They chose law, fallen from grace, is of no effect for a person that does that. It's not a Christian who sins and then is lost. Otherwise, we would all be lost. People, you know, see that in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, those that are lost. It's really talking about professing Christians or those that are entertaining or listening to the gospel being preached. They set their sight, they walk away saying, no, it's not just Jesus. And there are those that are professing Christians that add, as these people were, something to the gospel, as cults do. And there are cults that call themselves Christians, but they have all these other works you have to do. And if you don't do them, you're not going to make it to heaven. They've fallen from grace. They're not really born again, as the Gentiles were here in Galatia, but they seek to be saved by keeping the law. If they listen to the false teachers, to the cults today, anything other than Jesus Christ alone, they're severing themselves from grace because they're adding works to it. Professing Christians, not really born again. Verse 5, for we, because now he talks about those there, for we, through the Spirit, you see, the difference between a born again Christian and professing Christians or cults which profess Christianity or other religions or all other people, the difference is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus says, I'm not abandoning you, I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit dwelling in you to do my work. There is no inward change except through being born again. That's why, you know, some people fear, well, if I just share a gospel of grace to these people, what's going to stop them from living that sinful lifestyle over there? You know what? The Holy Spirit. You change on the inside. I know, because one day I was that way, and the next day I was that way. Personal experience. You too. You changed. You don't have to be a babysitter to one that professes that is true. To one that professes to be a Christian, you become a babysitter. Well, let's see, they go to church. Hey, read your Bible. Hey, you ought to be praying. That's a heavy load, isn't it? Maybe you've got some people you're taking care of and babysitting today. It's heavy. It can be your own family members. It's a heavy job. When I see a person that's born again, no pressure. I know they're going to go to church. I know they're going to read their Bible. I know they're going to pray. I know they're going to love the Lord. I know they're going to worship God because the Holy Spirit lives in them. And if they don't have that desire in them, I'm not going to put it in there. I'm not going to put him in there. That's impossible. Have you ever tried to make people believe? Ooh, that's impossible. Give up. It's not going to work. If they're not born again, they won't do it, live it. But if they are, it'll be evident and it'll be just a supernatural thing within them to do those things. And that's what Paul is saying here, verse 5. For we through the Spirit, not the flesh or because of our good works or we're such good people, it's only through the Spirit that we real believers wait for the hope of righteousness, which is by faith. We live every day hoping for that higher calling, our home, our dwelling place, the things of the Lord. We do it because of through the Spirit. We eagerly wait for that hope. We have hope. Unbelievers don't have hope. Even as a Christian, you can lose your hope sometime if you get your eyes on the world or the circumstances. But you need to slap yourself in the face and get back on track. And how did we stand? Stand fast. So everybody's going to come in here next week with rosy cheeks because they've been slapping themselves all week. Hey, I talk to myself sometimes, Jim, what are you doing? It's okay to do. People in the car probably think you're crazy. You know, sometimes we just have to fight that battle and get yourself back on track. Discipline yourself. Say, wait, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this? I've got the Lord. I got to stand fast in my faith. And it's only through the Holy Spirit. Pray. Wait on the Lord. Keep your mind on things above. And we eagerly wait for the arrival of our Savior to forever be with the Lord. Last verse today, 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Which circumcision is representing the law here. He says, whether you're circumcised or not, you know, that doesn't matter. What does matter? Faith working through love. Faith working through love. He says, go ahead, get circumcised. You know, it's not going to matter to you guys. You're doing it for nothing. You're going to suffer some pain for nothing. It's not going to help you get to heaven. It's not going to do you any good. And people do all these other things. You know, in these churches, they have all these other rituals. Well, you got to be confirmed. You got to do this. You got to go ahead. You know, maybe people will give you cards with money in it when you're a kid, and you can look forward to that when they celebrate certain things. But you know what? You're not going to gain heaven through all those things. He says right here, that's going to avail you nothing. Faith is the only thing which is working through love. It starts with God's love for us, John 3:16, for he so loved the world. And then it begins where we have that love in us toward him and toward other people. It's faith working through love. Our faith is a work of love, and it's a life of love, being born again. And we bear natural fruit. We will change. We'll bear natural fruit. Grace, our faith working through love, assures we are going to heaven. Nothing else will assure us of that. We love God. We obey God's word because we love him. We're free in Christ. You know, in 1 John, the Bible tells us God is love. And maybe there's something going on in your life today where you're doubting that. Maybe you're saying, I don't know. If God loves me, why is this going on? Why is he allowing this? You know, we human beings can't answer the whys. We just need to know God. That's why he gave us that statement, God is love. What did Job say? Blessed be the Lord. Lord gives, Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's all we can say. I don't understand this life. That's why we have to stand fast and keep our mind on things above. We don't know what's going on here. Only God does. But all we need to know is God. He's love. He's gracious. He's using whatever happens in our life for good to those who love God. And if a person is born again by grace, knows God loves them, we can rejoice over that. These Judaizers are trying to get those people back into a legal relationship with God, and that's not going to work. Because then it becomes more than love. When you say to someone, I love you, but you know, you got to do this every day for me. Wait a minute, why did you say that last part? Does that mean you're not going to love me if I don't do that tomorrow? You see, God loves us no matter what. We can't ever let Satan get in our head and doubt that. It's a gospel of love. It's a relationship of love. And we're set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for giving us your word. We know how to live. And we thank you that the Holy Spirit dwells in us so that we can be new people in Christ. Lord, don't let us ever give in to the flesh. There's a war going on, the flesh and the spirit. But you're greater. And we are able, through the power of the Spirit, to conquer all these other things. and our old flesh. But it's only through you and the Spirit of God in us. Don't ever let us count on our own strength or determination or promises or oaths we take. It's all you. We are weak, but you are strong. I pray for all of us in here that we would leave here without that burden on us which we came in with. I pray we would release all the projects, all the people that we're undertaking to babysit, all the things going on that are heavy upon us. Help us to leave them in this place today and walk out of here about 10 pounds lighter. God, we just want to be free people, people of promise, and people who are led by the love of God. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship.